Okay, reading Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 to 29. So we'll just put that up on the screen and let's hear the word of God. In fact, we'll pray before we read. So Lord, sometimes it's good to come trembling before your word, especially when we are looking at this subject of worship. And how down the ages, so many people have trembled in your presence because of the awesomeness and the wonder of our living God. So Lord, help us to have reverence and fear, but not fear that drives us from your presence, but fear that just takes us deeper into you because we know that there's nowhere else that we want to be than right in the center of the palm of your hand. Listening to your word to us. So come powerfully upon the reading and the preaching of your word now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 12, reading from verse 18. So the background to this passage, this letter to the Hebrews, is Paul. We think of Paul as the author. Of course, he doesn't say at all in the Bible who the author of this passage is, this book rather. But we assume it has some elements of Paul's theology in it. So, anyway, he's writing to a group of people who are primarily Israelite, they're primarily Hebrews. So he's trying to come at them and connect with them in ways that they understand, which is to relate the New Testament era, the coming of Jesus, with what they had before. And so now he's contrasting this new way of worshiping in Christ with the way that folk used to worship in the Old Testament. And so here we have this reading. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them because they could not bear it. What was commanded, even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Okay, so this is the picture of Moses coming up to the mountain, God's mountain, in Mount Sinai in the desert, the time of Exodus. But the writer here is saying, you've not come to that. That's the past. He says, but you've come now to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, that's back in the Moses time, in Exodus time, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Thank you, God. So just a few remarks about worship in the New Covenant era. When we have Jesus living in us. And a reminder, I've talked about this before, but our principal call is to worship God in spirit and in truth. And what does that mean? Well, it means that our spirit connects with the Holy Spirit. So there's a spiritual dynamic, a reality of a spiritual connection when we worship with God. And the truth bit, if you remember, this is going to really test you, because I preached on this about a year ago, So who's got good long-term memory? Do you remember the word for truth? What was the Greek word for truth? Well, I'll just have to send that test out again, eh? You know, fill it. No, it's, I didn't expect you to remember that, but maybe I thought perhaps one or two might. But aletheia is a Greek word, which means to worship with nothing hidden. So that's why that we sang that first song, "Come Now Is the Time to Worship." Come just as you are to worship. Nothing hidden before God, because God doesn't want the mask. He knows what you're like anyway. So there's actually no point in having a mask. And it was good that Angie shared her testimony that God has been saying to her, you know, be yourself in worship. Don't mind what anybody else is saying or thinking. Be yourself. Be what God has created you to be, because that's the bit that he loves. He loves to see the person he's created worshiping him in the way that he has created him, that person to do it. And he's looking for people who will worship in this way. It says in John 4:23, the Father is looking for anyone who will worship him that is in spirit and truth. And that word there to look is not just, he's going, ah, can I see anybody? Can I see anybody who's worshiping me? It's actually to passionately go and say, I am seeking you. I'm seeking you. Come, come. You know, there's a passion, there's a zeal, there's an energy, there's a desire for God. You know, we talk a lot about the mission of God and joining in with that mission. But the principal mission of God is to seek worshipers. It's also to make disciples. But the principal one is God is looking for people to worship him in the way that he's created them to do it. And the word is to seek, zetio, to seek passionately those who would worship him in that way. So that's what the New Testament backstory, if you like, of worship is. That's what it's all about. And Hebrews gives us some flesh on the bones of what it looks like. I'll wake up my doofer. Here we go. Contrast the old and the new covenant worship. And I've put there roasting to hosting as a way of kind of capturing the difference. So if you were around at the time of Moses and you were in the desert and God appears on the mountain in fire and all kinds of natural stuff going on, if you get too close to the presence of God in that situation, you're in for a roasting, because it was not possible for people, because they were unclean, they were sinful, they could not come into the presence of the holy God. And only Moses was able to come near God. And even then, he was not even allowed to see God's face. God said, I would pass by and my back will be shown to you. Because there was this separation between God and man. And there was all kinds of rituals and sacrifices that we had to go through in order to be made right with God enough to be able to come into the temple or a place of worship. And we're always at risk of the roasting. But the New Testament is now much more about hosting. And how do I know that? Well, because we've not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm. We have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We're actually invited to a place where God dwells. And folks, this is not just a future thing, but it is, of course. We are going to go eventually, get different bodies, and end up in a different place. But we get a foretaste of this now, because the whole passage is written in present tense. We've come to Mount Zion. It's already happening, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So there's this new heaven and new earth that God is creating. And it will come into full fruition. It will come down from heaven. And you know, the shape of this city is a cube. If you read the description of it in Revelation, the sides are the same length as the height. So there's just going to be this enormous cube where we're going to live with God. How weird is that? Isn't the Bible weird sometimes? Or do we not just say, well, I'm hoping I'm going to go to heaven someday, and we kind of park it over there? We never say, well, I'm looking forward to going to that cube that's described in Revelation, which is called the city of God. But that's what it's going to be, something like that. It's going to have sapphire streets and glass and all kinds of wonderful things, you know. And we're going to be invited to dwell there with God. That's the party that God is inviting to us. That's the hosting. He wants to host us in this city. And the really exciting thing is that we get to experience that now, that when we gather together, he's saying that everything that separated us from God is wiped away. Don't believe me? Well, then let's look at the next parts. Before we do that, who are we going to join with? And who are we joining with? You know that every time we worship, there's innumerate angels. They know how to count. It's innumerable angels, hundreds and hundreds in festival, thousands and thousands, festal gathering. That means in celebration. So just even if you can't see this in your spiritual eyes, just cast your imagination right this minute. There's angels going, yay, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, all over the earth, in the heavenly realms, in this festal gathering. That would be enough to have really amazing worship. But there's more. We have the assembly of the firstborn. Who are they? Those are the ones that are enrolled in heaven. So that's the people who are in Christ. They die believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And when that happens, you get your name put in a book. And so all of the folks who have put their faith in Jesus, been enrolled in heaven, will be there. So, gosh, that must be billions. And it will be more. And we come to God, of course, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Now, you could just glance over that and think, that sounds a bit weird. What's that? Well, if you read the previous chapter of Hebrews, it talks about the great hall of faith, the hall of fame of the people in the Old Testament who had great faith. And it says in chapter 11, verse 40, that these people, together with us, they are made perfect. So the spirits of the righteous made perfect are all the great folk down the ages in the old part of the Bible, the Old Testament, who had great faith. And they were waiting. They were waiting for Jesus to complete things so that they could be made perfect and join in this amazing festal gathering. But all of this is made possible, as I said earlier, because Jesus is there. We have that invitation. You've come to Jesus, who presents us with a new covenant. So we don't earn it at all. We don't have anything to do with the success of the new covenant. It's presented to us by Jesus. And this is the Message translation. You've come to Jesus, who presents us with a new covenant, a fresh charter from God. He is the mediator of this covenant. And the murder of Jesus, unlike Abel's was a homicide that cried out for vengeance. But the murder of Jesus became a proclamation of grace. So because Jesus took all of our sins and took all of the world's evil upon himself on the cross, this new agreement is then established with humanity and the whole of creation, that we will be renewed, that we're given new life, and that we are invited to come into this new worship. It's amazing. So we're invited to be with God. He hosts us in his city. But there's another dynamic as well, that when we make that choice, as I've said before many times, to follow Jesus, he comes and he lives in us. So we become a host by the Holy Spirit for Jesus. So it says in Ephesians 2, it's one of the key passages in Scripture, that Paul says, in him, Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So, are we following? Is it doing our heads in that we have this invitation to this cube, this wonderful city, to be hosted by God, but we're also in turn hosting God? So we have this extraordinary different connection. If you can get your head around that, then you're better than I can. But all I can say is this is what Scripture tells us, that we've become a dwelling place. It's not just me, but all of us. When we're gathering together, it doesn't have to be a Sunday morning. We could gather on a Tuesday morning coffee time in the name of Jesus Christ, and he is there in the conversations. He's there, you know, if I'm in the schools and speaking to the kids. All the circumstances that you have, you are, when you gather with other Christians, you are this dwelling place. You are a host for the Lord Jesus, that God lives in us by his Spirit. But just in case we thought, wow, that's great, fantastic, I like that, that's good. Yeah, I might indulge in that sometime, might think about getting more passionate about worship sometime. Then the writer of the letter to Hebrews doesn't let us off with that. He says, so because you've got this potential to worship in this way, it says, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him, that's the Israelites, when they refused to listen to Moses and God, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? So there's an invitation, but there's a time limit on that invitation. And the reason that we need to connect him with God and get into that worshiping place is that there's a shaking coming. And we see that in the world. You know, ever since Jesus has come, stuff is getting shaken about. And I was just reflecting recently, there seems to be quite a bit of shaking going on. You know, we've had so many referendums. Are we going to be, is Scotland going to be independent or not? Is the UK going to be independent from Europe or not? And the foundations of a lot of things which we've taken for granted for 60-odd years, even in the church, you know, there's a shaking going on in our denomination in the Church of Scotland at the moment. Because God likes to shake things up. And the reason he does that is because he wants to see the good stuff come to the fore, but he also wants to challenge us to truly worship him. So that's why this passage is kind of bolted on to the worship bit. He says, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. That there's grace and there's time for us to say yes to stepping into the more of worship with God, because we want to be on the right side of the shaking. We want to be in that kingdom that's not going to be shaken and not partnering with the stuff in the world, the stuff that the enemy's doing, and getting shaken up. And perhaps if we're feeling a bit shaken, it's time to say to God, you know, take me into the unshakable bit and strengthen me to be so that I can be part of that unshakable kingdom. And when we're in that kingdom, to give him all the thanks and praise and worship him acceptably with reverence and awe. And the next chapter, actually, chapter 13, has a whole list of acceptable worship to God. But I want just to finish on talking about acceptability, which is to revere him, to be in awe of him, and to worship him yet just the way we are, in truth and in spirit. So before we sing our final song, let's just spend a moment where we have the opportunity to say yes to going deeper into worship, to say yes that we want to be part of that unshakable kingdom. that has at its core this worship of God with reverence and awe. So let's pray together. In fact, if you want to, you put your hand on your heart. If you want, if you're saying yes to God and I want more, I want to be committed to worshiping you in spirit and truth, because that's where the Spirit resides. You know, it's in the center of us. So let's do that together. So Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us who has said yes and put our hands on our heart this morning, that we want more of you, that we want to step in and be activated into a deeper worship experience of you, to really enter into everything that the book of Hebrews has taught us about worship. Then I pray that you would do that, Holy Spirit, that you would draw us in, that you would awaken us, that you would open our eyes and ears and hearts and mind to worship you in the ways we've never done before, that we've not even dreamed of or thought of before, perhaps, but that you're taking us into a place of unshakability, that we know we have the security of God surrounding us, and we know that we can rest in the presence of Jesus because he's unshakable. So Lord, help us. Awaken in us a desire and an ability to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we say sorry for the times we've not done that, and ask for your forgiveness, and thank you for the grace that says that door is always open for more of you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.